Adventure!
Danger!
Drama!
Magic the amateuring!
Passion!
Fortitude!
Strength!
Tight jeans!
Boobs!
A pompadour!
You'll get all that and more when you listen to this episode, episode 30 of
Magic the Amateuring,
part 2, the sequel. Hey everybody, we're a Magic the Gathering podcast all about playing Magic the Gathering and being people who are no good at magic.
Mm-hmm.
Right, guys?
We're kind of good.
On occasion, we pull it together and aren't terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But you're new.
We're new.
We're very new.
But we have someone here who is less terrible than we are. His name is Ben. He is our magic expert. He taught us the game and is here to help you on your journey towards Mexican dinner. What was I going to say?
I don't know. Mexican dinner.
Mexican gold.
I think I was probably trying to say, like, magic. I don't know. Magic expertism?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, guys. I am Ben, and I did teach my friends Megan.
Hey.
And Maria.
What's up?
How to play Magic the Gathering. What they don't know is I taught them one rule wrong.
What?
No.
No.
And someday it'll cost you a game.
You mean we don't have to play with Auntie? If you don't get that joke, listen to episode 29.
All right, guys.
This show, I'm going to quick say, we've got some good stuff coming up on the show.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we've got...
Quit stalling.
Shut up.
What is it?
We're going to talk about M14.
We are?
Oh, we so are. We're going to talk about it hard. What's good in there? What's bad?
Are we going to talk about M14 the Magic Set or M14 the Galactular Nebula?
Probably the Magic Set, but Ben, if you want to like add anything about the Nebula...
Go for it, buddy.
Go for it.
It's really big.
All right.
It's bigger than the magic set.
Sure.
Okay.
We're also going to talk about Theros.
Ooh.
Yeah, because it happened. We got some information on Theros.
How about that?
Got some euphemisms of the week for y'all.
Yeah, we do.
They're pretty good.
We're going to answer some emails. I'm super excited about that.
And do some iTunes reviews, usernames. So stay tuned. Please, please do it. Please. Please,
Maria, take your nose off the microphone. My mouth goes there.
I am.
Coming off. This is just like when you tell me about when you're on dates with people.
And I just like, I grab their pants like,
please stay until the end of the date.
Please stay.
Please stay.
And the thing is, before that, they weren't saying anything about going anywhere.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
It's totally preemptive.
It's a preemptive strike.
It's just sort of like, oh, I'm going to get a beer. Please don't leave.
You gotta fire the nukes if you have them first, that's all I can say.
So guys, let's start with M14. What's been the what with that what?
First impressions, let's all go around the circle and say how we felt the moment we opened that first sweet pack of M14.
Okay.
I was a little bit like, these cards are a little more boring.
Yeah.
Did you really get that feeling?
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
It was exciting because they were new, but it was also a little bit like, well now, look at this 1-3 flyer. Cool.
I think you'll find that if the set is well designed, the appreciation you'll have for the set is more about how all the cards work together than as like just each individual card.
And you say that, and I feel like that's true. Mm-hmm. By the time I was drafting
because I'm saying it,
exactly why I found it to be true.
I have a truth aura on. I put on my truth aura.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
It looks good on you.
Normally I put on my heavy lifting aura.
Ben, I was going to say you shouldn't spend 6 mana to do nothing this turn with that truth aura.
What? This guy is, how dare you?
Look, all right. I lost my train of thought.
Ben.
Oh, I liked it more. I liked it more the more I played it.
Yeah.
The more I played it, I liked it more.
Wow.
My first draft deck, blue. It was not blue, and it sucked ass.
What was the most terrible thing about it?
Everything. It was all terrible.
Why?
Because it was.
Megan, this is a podcast.
It was just like, I just had, like, It was just bad, you guys.
Did
sometimes,
it give you cancer?
Sometimes things are so bad, you don't have words for it.
Understood.
That's how bad this
Understood.
Was.
Like Ben's haircut.
So bad, I don't have words for it.
Thanks, guys.
No problem, buddy.
You know, when I opened it, I think I was just more excited than anything to play with new cards.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
And just seeing them and being like, ooh, shiny. Mm-hmm. But I gotta say, those 1-3 flyers really just,
mm-hmm.
man.
Make you, get you pretty excited.
I hit you for one. I swing for one.
One.
You'll take one damage.
But one of them has vigilance, right? So
one.
That's
yes.
kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to pay 3 for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep. I hear you.
Fair enough. Maria, how did you feel when you first you untapped for the first time in M14?
Excited.
Yeah.
Ready.
Naive.
Naive, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I went in knowing a few things, that I wanted to play blue, and so I did.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
What drew you to blue?
What?
Why blue?
Oh, because I wanted a lot of flyers.
Oh, okay.
Because I thought that there
nice
weren't a lot of
plan.
Great ways to defend against them in the set.
So mm-hmm. true. Except for Plummet. But so
yes.
true. Except for the 1-3 flyers. It's super true.
All right.
Except for Doomblade.
I could just let those 1-3 flyers hit me for a while.
But I did make a critical error in that I did not have enough ground defense. And those flyers are a little too wimpy to put
That's
up with
true.
A fast green deck.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you got to have those, you know, wall of frost,
I guess.
You
have to have something.
Wall
Something's
of frost.
Go down there.
It's a bamf.
A 1-3 flyer, I don't know, man. It's just not going to cut it in the end.
I hear you.
But, you know, so I've only played one draft with it. It wasn't great, and I knew what I did wrong. My flyers just didn't have enough punch behind them to get through, despite the fact that I drafted 3 trained condors, which give whatever creature you want flying when they attack, and I had a couple of air servants, which you can pump to give them
water
plus one.
Servants
water
you can
servants.
Pump.
Oh, yes, water servants.
Air
I had 2
servants
of those.
Are just big, and they fly.
Okay.
And you can pay 3 to tap another person's flyer.
Yeah, but whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those dudes are pretty... those are basically water servant was the best card in my deck, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay.
Especially with your flyers.
Yeah.
Spell blast.
Later on, I had a good time drafting blue. Actually,
okay.
The second and third drafts I did... I ended up in blue because people were passing me a lot of it.
Take it, man.
A lot.
Take it.
But I didn't end up with a lot of flyers. I ended up with a lot of counter spells, which I loved. And I ended up, both of those decks were really solid.
How many counter spells do you have in there?
This one, the deck that Ben's looking at, I felt like was the slightly weaker of the two. And I think I have 5 counter spells.
Sweet.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of counter spells. I also had like some time ebbs, which put a creature back on top of their library, which I never appreciated how much. Then you know what they're drawing next turn.
Yeah.
It's not a mystery.
Yeah, it's better than you think to have that guy go back.
Yeah,
definitely. Nope.
Yeah.
Back up there.
There's an, is it an Archaeomancer? Which you can,
yep.
when you play it, you get to put an instant or sorcery back in your hand. So you can counter something, play this guy, and then put a counter spell back in your hand. Just
then
to be
they
like,
know you have it.
Exactly.
Fuck.
And then they're just like, and then no one, they don't play anything for 5 turns, and you're like, I'm never gonna tap out, so you might as well play it so I can counter it. Bitch.
And then they play a crappy creature, and then you're like, all right.
Yeah. I have to say, that's actually a great feeling too, when they know that you have counter spells, and they play like a 2/2, and you're like, I'll let that go.
Sure.
Let that go.
Sure.
Let that
win.
Go.
Did you find yourself really liking Claustrophobia?
This deck had 2 of them.
Yeah.
And I thought that it was fine.
It's pretty good against that big green deck.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Just
I
to
had,
like stick it on a creature is real nice.
Did you have some claustrophobia envy?
I had 1 and
some claustrophobia philia.
Let me yes. Let me tell you, I wish I had more of those. Because those big green guys really come at you fast when you have your blue little weaklings out there. You know, they're the kids on the schoolyard who are getting, you know, swirlies. And the big green guys are the guys taking roids in the bathroom.
Yeah, and the green guys are, like, the ones where it's, like, they're in 4th grade and they're, like, 5'5" already. And they're, like, massive. And you're, like, what happened to you?
Well.
How did that happen?
The green guys are, like, soda in New York City.
they're
before the ban.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
So I found myself constantly wanting a claustrophobia. I also had pacifism, which, you know, mm-hmm. you can't buy that shit on the street.
Mm-hmm.
You can, though. You can.
Yeah,
you can.
You can. You okay. can.
Pacifism. Yeah, so I think, you know.
It's a new drug. Don't try it, guys. It'll fuck you up.
Megan, how did it feel to counter shit?
Oh, my God. A guy played, what's that, Hydra? The mythic Hydra? He tapped out like 5 mana to play this Hydra, and I was just like, cancel. And it was just like, it was the best feeling ever, you guys.
Oh, I'm sure.
It happened twice.
Ouch.
With the same dude. I was Ouch. Like, oh, man.
If you're mm-hmm. that dude, you can probably file an insurance claim.
get all that mana back.
On that burn? On that burn.
Up top.
I'm gonna, can I use that in the future?
What do you want to say?
You gonna file an insurance claim on that burn? I'm happy with that.
Sure, okay. Go ahead.
Go Thank for you. It. Let us know that goes.
Ben, what deck are you hoping to play in M14?
I want to see how ridiculous the Slivers deck can get.
It can get real ridiculous.
Seems like you get a little bone nasty.
Yeah, it sure can, but yeah. What is it? Red, white, and green have the most slivers.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what color sliver deck do you want to play?
Blue and black. Just all, hey, rare, all rare slivers.
A rare sliver is what I got when I ran my hand along my aunt's
antique
oak chest owned by Edward I.
A rare sliver.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was wondering, you know, a sliver's deck still
why did
wants
you
to
rug
be...
Why did you rub that chest so, like, sexually?
Let's just say you would have, too.
Yeah, okay. It was owned by a king.
Hello.
Right.
Hello.
All right, guys.
Royal baby.
That baby that was just born ain't the only royal baby.
What?
What?
Maria, are you pregnant?
I'm pregnant with an oak
Maria's
chest
gonna
baby.
Maria's going to have a wood baby.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'll still love it.
Mm-hmm.
Ben.
Yeah.
So, Sliver's deck wants to be 2 colors still, I assume.
Yeah, probably. There's only really like 1 or 2 cards that can fix your mana, so you might be able to use them to like splash one other sliver if you get one that's like real juicy.
Yeah.
But yeah, otherwise you probably want to stick to just 2 colors.
Green gives you that ability more than any other color, FYI. They have slivers that let you tap for any color of mana.
What?
That's right. Oh, there's that's a green. Nice. There's that green sliver that's a
yes.
that has tap a sliver you
is
can control. Add one mana.
Verdant
of any color.
Haven is Verdant
Correct.
Haven in the set.
Yes.
Oh, it's so weird that it's like in the set again. It's like we just had that card. You guys.
Do they not normally reprint from set to set next door?
I don't know. I've never played
next
three
door
sets in a row before.
Hello.
Hello, M13. It's M14 visiting.
Why don't you go next door and ask for some sugar for once? Ah, you owe me so much sugar already.
Aw.
Get out of here before I find my pistol.
M13, you know that I don't like to go visit Innistrad. That house is spooky.
Hey guys, this is Innistrad. I heard you talking out on the porch. Do you guys want to play some gin rummy?
I've never.
Well... Innistrad, I'm so sorry. I have to take a phone call. Do you hear my phone ringing?
I don't hear anything.
Okay.
Excuse me. It's me, Shards of Alara.
Shards of Alara?
Have you guys seen my medication or my glasses or my prescription for my glasses or my kids or my wheelchair ramp or my car with the special device that allows me to get into it?
Okay.
Shards of Alara, you're several blocks away and I don't know how you got here.
All right, I'll just go home. It's this way, right?
That guy's such a drag.
Ugh. That's what it's like in the magic neighborhood.
Yep.
God.
Oh man.
Anyway, green seems awesome.
Very powerful creatures.
Red, I also
hard
think
to deal with.
Could be great if you could build a monocolored red deck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But if people are passing you blue counter spells, holy shit, just take them all.
Advice from Uncle Megan.
Yep. I don't know. How many counterspells do you think is too many?
I think 6 would be too many. I think but 5 is enough.
5 is just perfect.
How many creatures do you think is too few?
I played 14 or 15 creatures.
So what was your strategy with counterspells? How did you decide when to play a counterspell versus when to play a creature?
I basically, if I had a counterspell in hand, I always left enough mana open to play it.
What? Even if you missed your 2-drop?
Even if I missed my 2-drop. But to be fair, I didn't have any 2-drop creatures. I had a bunch of 2-drop counterspells.
Sure.
All right. Yep, that's one way to do it.
Yeah. You've got two Child of Nights.
Oh, that's true. I did have some 2-drop creatures.
It does kind of take up the slot of a 2-drop because you get to trade for their 2-drop or for their 3-drop if they're on the play.
Exactly. And I found
that... Which they're going to be because how can you lose with a counterspell deck?
I did find that it's better to be on the play with counterspells. The other thing was this was an extremely cheap deck, so I played only 16 lands, which was really nice. Sure.
16 lands. I have a question. You have 2 Essence Scatters in this deck. Now, this is a card that I think I would be blind to even picking up, because it is 1 colorless, 1 blue, and you counter target creature spell. But, I mean...
It is the bomb. Think of someone playing that Hydra. Think of someone tapping 5 mana, thinking that they're going to play a fucking Hydra and just being like, no, bitch.
And you've got a bunch of Scroll Thieves in here, which is a 1/3.
Yes, Scroll Thief with Master of Diversion or Trained Condor is amazing because either you put them up in the air and you draw a card or you tap down a creature and you draw a card.
Nice.
And that was another thing that I felt like until I played this deck, I never appreciated how great it is to be drawing a card.
You didn't?
I understand that it's good.
Yeah.
But once I started doing it, like every turn with Scroll Thief, it was just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Because I would into another time ebb or I would draw into another counterspell.
I will say card advantage is often much better in core sets because sometimes the format is slower.
Yeah.
Card advantage becomes pretty irrelevant if, you know, we're fast like Gatecrash.
That's fair.
Correct.
Ravnica.
I learned quickly that card advantage was a bonus when I played Dark Confidant in Modern Masters.
Ah, yeah.
But I think that's something as a new player you don't automatically see as a good thing, drawing a card, because you think, well, guess what? I'm going to draw one next turn. I don't see the advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Ben, what is the advantage of card advantage?
Options. You got options. It's like, hey... Would you rather have 1 girlfriend or 2 girlfriends?
Probably 1.
That'd be a mess waiting to happen.
But what if they're both like really cool with being your girlfriend and they mutually know about each other?
Then they're probably both ugly.
Okay, this metaphor maybe ran a little bit off the rails.
Would you rather that you had the option of 1 person to date or 2 people to date?
2, Ben.
Yeah.
All right. Right.
Because then you can just pick whichever one you're more attracted to, or whichever one makes you happier, or whichever one will kill your opponent's creature.
There you go.
This is my question. If you're playing a counterspell deck, it seems kind of counterintuitive, perhaps, at least to me, that, I'm not going to get ahead if all I'm doing is countering their creatures. We're just going to, like, remain at parity or...
Well, no, like, once you get to, one, you can let some of their stuff drop, because, again, there's some dispels, which put them back in their hand, there's some time ebbs, which put them back on top of their deck. The other thing is, like, I do have, like, all of my creatures were, like, 3, 4, 5 mana creatures. A lot of them were flyers. And once you have enough counter spells...
To get so that good stuff?
So that I get to turn 5 or 6... And once I get to turn 5 or 6, I can both play a creature and have a counter spell in my hand and mana available to play it if I need to.
Yeah, that's one way to do it. Another way to do it is if you have a lot of early drops, you can get your guys out, start applying pressure. You know, maybe have some cheap flyers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can counter their next thing so that you stay ahead.
Yeah.
So it can be a tempo play as well. Or you can also play out your stuff and then save your counterspell for their giant green threat or for their Hydra or whatever their bomb is. Sometimes, you know that they have a bomb or two in their deck, and then at that point your only option like you may have no other way to deal with it other than a counterspell.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
So this is a good time.
So you don't want to be in a situation where you're behind and trying to counter. That's really bad.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're even or ahead, then it can be really good.
Okay. Got it.
Got it. It's not going to save. Usually it's not going to save you, though. It's one of those cards. I don't know if you guys listened to the Limited Resources episode about the stages of the game, but a counterspell is a card that's good. It's very bad when you're already losing, right? Like you draw it and it's like, what is this going to do for me? It's very good when you're winning, because then it basically
ensures your win.
It almost ensures you win. It means it makes your opponent have two answers, which they probably don't have. And then in kind of development, like sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not, because sometimes you can play along with other stuff, sometimes you just can't, you know. It's like sometimes, you know, you can't pull off the date at the restaurant with two different people.
Like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Neighboring restaurants. Did that happen to Mrs. Doubtfire?
Oh, yeah. He's being himself at one. He's being at one dinner at the restaurant. And he's being Mrs. Doubtfire at another dinner.
Who was he on a date with as Mrs. Doubtfire?
It wasn't a date.
He wasn't on a date. He was with. Was he nannying?
He was nannying in one, and he was seeing a producer, a television producer,
That's
in the
right.
other.
Right.
Right.
They were both very important.
Uh huh.
That sounds fucked up.
Let me tell you something.
That movie is weird.
Yeah. As a 10-year-old, I never laughed so hard. As when he sat down at the wrong table as a drunk Mrs. Doubtfire and said, "I'm sorry, I had to piss like a racehorse." Never in my life.
I hear you, bro.
Yep.
We've all been
there.
I actually, when I have to pee, I say, "Boy, I have to pee like a water servant."
I have to pee like a nightmare horse. But that, to be fair, that's when I had a urinary tract infection.
Yeah.
Or when you have a kidney stone. Like,
yeah.
Oh.
Theros, motherfuckers.
Oh, Theros. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's the big deal about Theros?
Why
are we talking about Theros right now?
At Comic-Con, Wizards announced some information about Theros.
Woo!
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad we were there.
Yeah, me too.
Otherwise, we would have missed out.
We were in the front row.
Yeah.
Megan threw her bra on.
I did.
Mark Rosewater's face.
Yeah.
Google it. There's a YouTube video.
Sweet move, Megan. I'm sorry they had to pull you out, though.
Oh, okay. You guys, there's nothing
it.
I want more than to put my bra on some
I
dude's face.
I hope you
face.
Got your bra back at the very least.
No, I didn't.
Mark Rosewater took it home.
He has, like, kids. I'm now weirded out by this fake scenario.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, Ben, what the heck is Theros?
Theros is an upcoming magic set that will be released soon. If you like magic sets, maybe you'll enjoy it.
Woo!
Well, I gotta say, with what we learned, we knew some of it, that it was going to be Greek mythology based.
We basically knew all of it.
We knew that.
Yeah. It's going to live next door to M14.
Correct.
Oh,
so M14's getting a new neighbor.
This neighborhood is so highly planned out.
Yeah.
Wait, where does Modern Masters live?
Oh.
Underground.
Underground. It's
they
live like
in
the
sky castle.
It's the crocodiles in the sewers.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Modern Masters.
I see.
So they're going to have heroes, gods, and monsters in this set.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the heroes, though, are like... They have like these hero cards. Did you see those?
Yes. I think those are only for the pre-release.
Those are only for the pre-release. But I suppose they'll have some like legendary creatures that are like...
That are hero.
Heroes!
Yeah. There's also going to be more... slightly more than average legendary creatures.
Mm.
Nice.
Okay.
They said.
That makes
not
sense.
As many as Kamigawa.
No. That's not be ridic, you donk.
So what does that mean, though?
It just means that there will be more creatures with the type
legendary. And
legendary,
therefore...
Legendary is a super type, guys.
Super type, whatever.
And therefore...
Hey, Dak and Blackblade, shut up.
And therefore...
Uh-huh.
What does that mean? Just because they have this subtype, legendary creature...
Oh, that's right. When you play...
No.
Wait, what?
That rule doesn't apply anymore.
No, that's what I'm about to say, the new version of
okay.
the rule.
Okay.
Don't you correct me before I'm not wrong.
That's my job.
Yeah, that's Ben's job.
Okay.
It means that if you play...
No, Megan.
Oh, yeah, there we go. All right.
If you cast...
Will we ever learn?
Never. Never. If you cast two legendary creatures with the same name, mm-hmm. They don't both die automatically. You get to pick one. Yep. You get to pick one to keep and
That's
pick
true.
One to die.
That's true.
What I really was trying to elicit with my question was mm-hmm. that are these legendary creatures going to be more powerful than your average magic card?
Yes.
Okay, so there's going to be more powerful cards than usual. Can
yes.
we say that?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. But because there's more of them, they'll be less powerful than usual.
Whoa, you just blew my
mind. Amazing.
Yeah, that seems pretty badass, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet there's going to be one with a big sword. And maybe there's one that'll be a swan that you can have sex with.
Or will that... one of them be Zeus as a bull that you can have sex with?
Sure.
Hold on. Wow. That is Good. The weirdest thing I've ever heard Ben say. Is that a Greek myth?
Yeah.
What one?
There's one of them.
Someone had sex with the swan.
There's lots of...
Probably
come
Zeus.
On.
I don't know.
Greek mythology is all about people turning into animals to have sex with other people.
People turning people into trees.
Uh-huh.
People getting real mad about, like, just little shit.
People turning into flowers.
People being born out of people's foreheads.
Yeah.
That's totally a red ability.
Forehead birth.
That is totally a red card.
Oh, God. Yeah, and apparently there's going to be a lot of enchantments, which are somehow connected to the gods theme.
Sure, yeah, totally.
Maybe to activate your god, if you get a god, I don't know.
I don't know. There, in the last few sets, there were a lot of, like, enchantments matter cards. You know,
yeah.
like Blightcaster, Street Sweeper.
But nobody yeah. played those.
Yeah, but now they'll
Maybe
be
they
in
will.
Every standard deck.
Do you think their enchantments are going to come out? With more force, and we're going to be playing more of them?
Yes.
As limited players,
As
I have
limited
to say,
players, yeah.
I don't usually play a whole ton of them.
Oh,
no.
Well, get ready.
Because there's going to be more available.
Enchantment 30 up in this Mount Olympus.
That it comes right after Equipment 30.
Ooh, I like Equipment 30.
Well, Enchantment 30 is going to be crazy.
All right, I guess I'm just going to have to get more comfortable with this uncomfortable feeling.
All right, what else are we going to say about this?
Theros.
Yeah.
Well, it's mostly monocolored set.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to have three planeswalkers.
What?
Yeah, Elspeth.
Ooh. Elspeth, sure. She's all over that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, she's all like... Get some Greek gods up in here.
Can I ask a question, though? I've never played with her. What's her deal?
She, summons a lot of knights.
So she has other people do her shit?
She's a white planeswalker. So
she gets her shit done.
She, like, summons dudes and then
okay.
gives them flying stuff. She's... I've heard people say that, like, her... One of her versions was, like, the second best planeswalker ever.
What's the first bet? Jace?
That would be Jace, yeah. Second place after Jace.
Whoa. Who is Dak Faden? Isn't that like a doctor on a TV show?
No, it sounds more like a character in the Star Wars Extended Universe.
It's definitely one of the guys in the cantina playing the nose flute.
And then who's the third planeswalker?
We don't know.
What?
We don't know.
Does this question mark mean that he's that guy
His
from
name
the
is...
infomercial with the suit full
yes.
of question marks?
His
yes.
name is...
Huh? Okay.
Uh-huh. What?
Yeah, so that should be pretty cool.
Maybe it's a god that's
yeah.
also a planeswalker.
What?
Are your minds blown?
Okay, so when was the last time they made
it? Or maybe it's a swan that's also a planeswalker.
I would love that. Maybe it's those ducks.
His plus one ability is that he gets to have sex with any creature and you can populate it.
No, it's definitely those geese.
What?
Those ducks.
Bronzebeak Moa?
It's definitely Bronzebeak Moa. Actually, it's definitely Flibbletigibbet.
Flibblethip. Flipthop.
Yeah.
Guys, I bet you $100 there'll be minotaurs in this.
I'm not Dan.
You can't do that.
Ben famously made a bet with guest host Dan that there would be no Minotaurs.
It's because I thought this set was going to be so full of them, there'd be no room.
And Ben also famously lost that bet. Mm. So I'm not going to take your bet this time, Ben.
Yep.
I'll gladly make
a bet guys,
with you.
Come on, guys, I'm due.
I'll make a bet with you on some other thing.
Okay. I bet you that this set has a keyword that was seen in Future Sight.
That's not fair. That's
nope,
for sure.
We know that's in heaven.
Ben, to make a bet, you have there has to be something that there's still speculation about.
I would bet you that there is a card that turns one of your mountain cards into Mount Olympus.
I'll take that bet.
That's a terrible... Maria, I have to advise you against this.
Megan, and then it's like an 8/8.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's flying.
But why is Mount Olympus a creature? All right, moving on.
Ben mentioned earlier that there's going to be some special cards at the pre-release.
Oh. Tell us more about these special cards before I wither and die on this flagpole.
That was Flag Ben.
Flag Ben.
Flag Ben.
Ah.
Ben sometimes doubles as the Brazilian flag.
Oh,
that's true,
saw you.
And it's getting lonely up here at the UN. None of the other flags are people, you see.
I saw you at the Olympics. You were really good.
Thank you.
You were so
thank
good.
Thank you. Yeah. It's nice when I get to travel.
Oh, yeah.
That's
nice.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. We all love travel.
Well, Flag Ben.
Yeah.
These cards will have names on them, like hero and whatnot.
I know what it's like to be a hero. Okay.
All right, Flag Ben, we're not asking about your personal stories right now.
All right. I'll just let them.
We don't want to hear about the Brazilian War of 1812.
Oh, well, I wasn't going to tell you anyway.
Yeah, right.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
Right.
All right.
And these cards give your team special abilities.
Woo!
Wish I had a team.
Yeah.
So depressing, you know? Like, I'd hang out with him, but God.
Yeah. The guy is dark.
So, Ben, what do you think so far on what you know from what you've seen?
What do I think on what I know from what I've seen?
Yeah, what do you think on what you know from what you've seen?
That was a pretty good sentence. Thank you for putting it out. About Theros.
About Theros. Too early to tell, but I'm excited.
Too close to call?
Too soon.
To see.
Too soon to see. Too early to worm.
Yeah.
You guys, never too early to worm.
It's never too early to worm. Too clothed to know what it's going to look like naked.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, we've all been there.
Yep.
Well, I think we're all...
I mean, you can theorize all you want, but...
But you're never going to really know.
Until you bust open that wrapper.
Yeah.
Golden ticket.
Or if you see pictures online like a week before.
Smart move. I thought that they posted some pictures of what I think were gods in this set. You can go online if you want to know more about Theros, which is basically, we told you everything, but if you're interested, if you're hungry like the wolf.
Everything there is to know.
And I'm
you can see
like
some.
The da-da-da-da,
okay.
Okay, I'm stopping.
You can see some pretty cool art from Theros, including what I would guess are pictures of gods. I can't be sure.
Yeah.
But the art is really awesome.
Yeah.
FYI.
Nice. We've got some new euphemisms of the week for you. It's been a while, but with M14, I'm just sitting around at work sometimes, and I'm like, do you know what I could really do? Make a dirty joke about something.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
What do you got?
Well, let's see. Do you guys...
First of all, let's introduce our euphemistress.
This is Megan.
Oh, snap! Euphemistress! I like that. So this first one, I feel like this is pretty obvious. Doomblade. It's just gonna be a guy's penis.
Okay.
I would like it if it called it that.
Is this because you feel like your opponent always has it?
Yes.
I just know he's got one in his hand.
I just know he's got a Doomblade.
Yes.
He's just gonna get me with it when I'm not looking.
Oh my God. Whoa.
Okay, sorry. That's what I think about Doomblade. I also think the same thing about pacifism, so.
The thing about Doomblade is that if you've got one, you wanna use it.
Oh, that's true.
True, but you want to save it for that special card. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't waste it on a 2-2.
Well, some people want to throw that Doomblade on just anything, and some people are willing to wait for something special.
This life lesson brought to you by the Euphemistress.
Thank you. Thank you. Should we do one more? I have another one.
Yeah.
This one's a little bit more involved.
Okay.
Wall of Frost. Wall of Frost is when your significant other
the
is...
boobs, right?
Oh my god.
Megan just slapped Ben in the face with a pen. Epic.
I was going to give birth from that for him.
Because you're a red card. Wall of Frost is when your significant other is cold-shouldering you because they don't want to have sex.
I feel like that's pretty straightforward.
But, okay, thank
wall
you.
Wall of Frost.
It's just sort of like, oh man, Marie, you get any yesterday?
No, man, he's totally giving me the Wall of Frost.
I'm sorry. Man. And you don't untap during your controller's next untap step, so you're probably not going to get any for like a week.
I have one, Megan.
Go for it.
Spore Mound.
Yeah! This is very dirty.
Cover your ears, kids. Oh. Because it's what's left on your hoo-ha after he pulls out.
Ben's face is priceless right now.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, guys. You know, sometimes you just gotta say it.
Yep. Yeah. Sometimes you do.
Use that in the bedroom.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. We have a new segment. We have a new segment.
Okay.
Yeah, we do.
Mailbag. Knock, knock.
Who's ding there?
Dong. Mailman.
Ooh.
Hey, Mr. McFeely, what do you have for us?
Oh, I've got an email from Daniel Day.
How did you get into my fucking email, Mr. McFeely?
Mr. McFeely can use his magical fingers to get in anywhere.
Oh God. Oh, God. I don't even want to imagine the implications of that statement.
You're the one who named me.
Ooh.
Ooh. So on a couple of episodes ago, we talked about the possibility of whether or not magic has ever been played on a submarine.
Underwater.
Underwater.
And we were not equipped to answer that
query. No, we were not.
We created an unknown question.
Yeah. We were very skeptical, though, I recall. We got an email.
Ben
was the most skeptical.
Ben was the most skeptical, what? Which is why he's now going to deny it the most.
I was the one who said, I'm sure it has been played on.
I think that's true. I think that's fair. And then Ben and I were both like, no. Okay.
So I was probably just hating Maria because she wore the same outfit as me.
Yep, and she looked better in it. People magazine did a survey.
They did do that
80%
survey.
Of people said Maria wore it better. So we got an email from a guy who is, let's see, I wanna get this right. He was in the U.S. Navy, is in the U.S. Navy, and he sent us an email being like, yes, we not only played magic,
uh-huh.
On a nuclear submarine.
Nuclear.
Not just any submarine, you guys. On a nuclear
fucking submarine.
That's fair.
Why do we have them?
Gone are the days of the U-boat. There,
is my question. Yeah.
But they had magic tournaments.
Wow.
Down on the submarine.
Like a Grand Prix?
I don't know that they had a Grand Prix.
Yeah. The entry was only top 8.
Yeah. So anyways, let's see.
Mm-hmm.
He says, there's not a huge amount of free time on a sub at sea, but if we got a few hours off where we weren't doing training or drills or maintenance, life on a sub, am I right, guys?
Yeah, you gotta tighten the bolts on that nuke.
Oh my god.
Didn't want it to leak out.
No. We'd get in a draft here or a few standard matches there. We'd hold fairly loose tournaments where we'd have a bracket, and whenever the two who were paired up happened to be off watch at the same time, they tried to get their match in. So it's not like they were like holding a tournament all at once. It was just sort of like, here's the next
standing
person you play.
Tournament. Yeah.
Whenever you get a chance, play this match.
Nice. It's just like the way we did it while driving to GP Kansas City.
Yeah. We did play cribbage while Ben was driving.
Uh-huh.
Fabulous.
That was very,
So thank you so much, Daniel. For sending us that email.
Yeah, that's
and thank
really
you for
awesome.
And thank you for your service.
Yeah.
I believe I would be very claustrophobic in a
submarine. Oh my goodness, right? I could not do that.
I would love it.
Oh,
plus, I don't like swimming.
Flip. I would flip.
And also that guy on Sequest DSV with the gills really freaks me out. And I assume that he is on that
submarine. He's on every submarine. Every submarine.
But there's a friendly dolphin.
Yeah, that guy's cool.
That's my dolphin noise.
Hold on, my dolphin alarm is ringing. I'm gonna hit the snooze button.
Ben, just let Megan.
There's one other mailbag that I wanted to read.
Sure.
From Levi. He sent us a little bit about when I was talking about the Grand Prix and there was the guy who was made me really scared because he was very angry with me.
Yes.
And he had a couple of tips, which I wanted to read for people who are having a tough time with someone who's being an angry jerk.
Let's face it, it happens.
Yes. Exactly. So his number one tip was give that person a nickname in your head.
Okay.
Or that you can share with other people. Two, remind your opponent that you understand that they're upset, but there's no reason to be upset because you're both currently pretending to be wizards casting spells.
Yeah.
Third piece of advice, win the match.
Oh, yeah.
Always feels good. Always feels good. I let him know that in retrospect, I nicknamed that guy Jerkface McAngry Pants.
Nice.
Good.
Yes.
Good choice.
Good choice.
So thank you, Levi, for those three pieces of advice.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, please send us an email at magictheamateuring@gmail.com. Or you can go to our website, magictheamateuring.com. We have a link on there that says contact, and you can email us through that.
Or check your local library. We're in the nonfiction section.
If you look up Dewey Decimal, we're 0.213.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. That is.
We don't have any books in there yet.
Yet.
But
if you wait, we're
working on them.
Forward to the future.
Yeah. Maria, you got to create a card for us this week?
Create a card this week is Forehead Birth.
Of course.
Inspired by Ben and Greek mythology.
Yeah.
As we said, this is a red card. And it costs, let's say, 5. Four colorless and a red.
Uh-huh.
And you can tap it and pay 1 to make a 1-1, thus birthing from its forehead.
Oh. Can I say my version?
Can I say my version after that?
Fuck you, Ben. Guys.
Okay.
Ben, go.
My version is it's a red sorcery, costs 1 red mana.
Uh-huh.
You play it, and you also discard a card. But then you draw a card off the top of your library. If that card is a creature, put it into play. It gains haste. Sacrifice it at the beginning of your end step.
Cool!
Nice!
That's actually like a legit card.
Ding! I'm a game designer.
That was awesome.
What do you got, Megan?
I'm not going to say mine anymore because that was good. So
why don't you say it and then Maria can edit it to before I said mine.
That works. No, I was just going to say Forehead Birth already, what's the card? Opportunity, where you just draw 4 cards.
Yeah.
It kind of, that the picture on Opportunity already looks like Forehead Birth.
Oh, it sure does.
Google it, guys, because it does.
You're right. We can just reuse the art.
Yeah, but we'll just have to make it red.
We'll tint it red.
Tint everything red.
Okay. We're going to reuse the art?
Yes, but we're going to make it your card.
Okay.
Right?
No.
What about this one? What about the card from, I don't know, Gate Crash or something that looked like the guy's brain and all those monsters coming out of it?
What?
What?
Possibility Storm?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
You guys, like, I just said what a card was based on his art.
It's like the vault from Ghostbusters. In a moment. Broke open.
Oh no! And the guy in the front is that jerk from the
painting.
No, from the EPA or whatever.
What if Forehead Birth? You have to take a card from the top of your library, put it on the top of your head, like facing outwards, like you have to play that game with a card.
Yes.
And your opponent is required to tell you 2 things about that card.
And if you can guess what it is,
you can play it.
Nice. Thing number 1, it's a card. Thing number 2, it's on your forehead. Your turn.
It has to be mana cost. Okay.
You tell him the mana cost and
it power and toughness.
No. What if it's not a creature?
Oh.
What it's 3 keywords from its flavor text. So it costs 3.
Okay.
And 3 keywords are infiltrated, remote,
and
knowledge. Shut up, I'm trying to be nice about this.
Scroll thief.
You looked at it.
Yes, I did. I think we've just invented a new game.
Yay!
iTunes reviewers! We have a few new ones!
Yes, you guys. If you'd like to leave us a review on iTunes, simply go to iTunes and type in Magic the Amateur, and you dumb shits.
Oh, whoa!
Okay,
wow. Whoa, so Maria! Hard.
Whoa, whoa, so I don't know what came down over me.
Good thing we edited out the racist parts.
Yeah. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
Yeah.
It's real easy, you guys. And we give people who have left us a review and left their username a little present.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that present is a pun based on their username.
Okay, so who left us a review this time?
Well, maybe we should just do two this time.
Okay. All right, that works.
So we've got some more that'll be happening next episode, but this episode, the first person who left us a review, is Angel Ether.
Angel Ether, either you're an angel or the best person ever.
Angel Ether. I'd like to design an experiment to prove you exist.
Hey, Angel Ether, you left some ether on my pillow, but I don't mind.
Angel Ether, I'm dreaming of you because you made me unconscious. And we also had a review from DJ Unled, or Djunled.
I don't know, Djunled?
DJ Unled. I'm glad that you're not playing all of those Led Zeppelin songs, because they get me down.
Hey, Djunled, why don't you get the lead out and give us a 5-star review? Oh, wait, you already did.
DJ Unled, I'd put you in my car from before the 50s.
What is a car from before the 50s?
They didn't have unleaded gasoline back then.
Djunled, I'd let you Djunled me anywhere.
Yay.
Thanks for the reviews, guys.
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate it. And if there's any way we can leave you a review,
yeah,
let us know. Yeah. Tweet it at us at MTAcast on Twitter. Which is a message service.
And surprisingly, not used by any birds.
Yeah.
No, that is not true. There's a Twitter account where some guy has put bird feed and suet on a keyboard, and the birds come and peck at it, and they tweet.
Really?
It's hilarious.
That's amazing.
You get some pretty profound stuff from those birds.
I'm sure you do.
You know, in honor of the M14 card Doomblade, mm-hmm. I'm just going to say that there is a Twitter account called Doomblade Guy.
I love that.
Uh-huh.
And he tweets a lot of things about, you know, how pointless it is to play against someone that has a Doomblade.
It's really like deep, like meaning of life kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally. Doomblade guy. We know what you're referencing.
Guys, thanks for investing an hour of your time wisely.
Thank you for investing your money. We will not use it wisely.
No.
Thank you for investing your heart. We'll try not to break it.
Try.
But no guarantees.
Try. Megan just kissed the microphone, so if you are perhaps lonely...
Now you have strep throat.
That's true. That's true, guys.
Sorry.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. I miss you already. So I missed a million miles of fun. I know it's up for me. If you still must enjoy. Making sure I'm not in too deep. If you still must enjoy. Keep bursting.